that we can get lost and captured in His presence. You know, if we would have let God's presence capture us, then we would see things so differently. We are not part of the world. We're part of His kingdom, and there's nothing greater than that. And Lord, we just thank You for visiting us here tonight on this Wednesday night. God, we thank You. There is nothing greater than Your presence. There is no more joy fuller than Your joy. There's no peace deeper than Your peace. There's no power higher than Your power. And Lord, we come into Your presence. Mountains move. Giants fall. Things change. Lord, things shift into a different position because we have been in the presence of a king. Lord, we've been like Esther. We spent a night with the king. And Lord, when we spend a night with You, it changes things. Remind us as the world grows darker that You're still a greater light than that darkness. As the world grows colder, God, You still have more love to cancel all that coldness out. That Your grace and Your mercy is greater than any storm or battle in our lives. And we thank You we're in this place tonight and that we can lift our hands and worship the King of Kings, not just because we know about You, but because we know You. We know who You are. We know who we're serving. We know who has saved us from hell. We know who died on that cross. We are stained with Your blood, the Lamb of Lambs, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we have forever been changed by that moment in time. Lord, the cross at Calvary was so much more than a wooden beam on a hill. It was our redemption. It was our sanctification. It was our justification. Thank You, God, that Calvary changed everything for us. And we can always now be in Your presence because of that. Bless this word tonight and bless Your people as we are standing in awe of a mighty King, a mighty Captain, host of all the armies. Thank You for that, Jesus. And we give You praise. And the church said, amen. Thank You. Thank You, Marge. That's beautiful. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. All right, children, you may dismiss Mr. Randy, if you so wish to be. Oh, that was beautiful. I love how you never know how God's going to just do things. I just love that. We're going to start in Matthew tonight, Matthew chapter 5. As you can see by my title, Rise and Shine. If you're like me, I'm not a riser. I mean, I eventually get up. But I'm not one of those perky morning people. Some of y'all are. My daughter Ashley is. It's so sad my 13-year-old wakes me up for school. I'll hear her get up. She'll make her a little coffee, cook her a little sausage and eggs, do her hair, get ready, let the dog out. Who let the dog? Let the dog out. And then I'll get on up, you know. She'll knock on my door. I'm ready, Dad. Okay, give me 10 minutes. You know, I'm a guy. Give me 10 minutes. I'm ready to take you to school. But we're talking about rise and shine a different way. We're going to talk about, as Christians, what our impact should be to others and what our character should be to others and how that we should rise up as Christians and shine to those around us. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 5. This is His words, Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world." Now, let's process that a minute. Jesus is telling us, telling the Joe Browns and the Sharon Browns, that you are the light of the world. That's quite a responsibility to be called the light of the world. It really should make us step back and think, wow, I'm part of that representation of God's light to the world. So it should make us self-evaluate a little bit, shouldn't it? What do they see when they see me? Are they seeing Jesus? Are they seeing God's love? Or are they seeing another just hypocrite? Or another bad person? Had a friend of mine text me a couple days ago. And his pastor, it was somewhere around here, his pastor walked up the podium Sunday morning. Church had no idea it was going to happen. Preached his message, and at the very end, gave his resignation. Been there 13 years. I'm resigning from the church. Tore everybody up. They're crying. They're mad. You know, tore everybody up. Let y'all know I would give y'all notice. I wouldn't do it that way. Because I'd want the big hurrah on the last service to go out on. It's just how I am. That's how I roll. We'll go party if I go out of here. So I just wouldn't boom that. So anyway, part of the reason they think that this pastor left, there was some personal issues going on in the family. And I so love you as a church. I so love our body. I always have. Y'all, I've never been like this, ever. All 13 years, never been like this. But there was a personal issue where somebody in the family had went through a separation, and they weren't legally divorced, but they were separated, and this person brought a boyfriend to the church. Well, all the holy deacons and elders got all upset and mad, started talking about this family. That ain't right. That woman needs to come up here in front of the whole church and apologize and repent and da-da-da-da-da, and everybody started bickering, everybody started talking, and pretty much ran her out on a rail out of the church. And I think the pastor said, you know what? I can't deal with this. Now, is that showing the light of Jesus? Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I'm thinking of all these verses, right? Ye without sin, cast the first stone. You know? I'm thinking about what Jesus did and how he showed up. And this person told me, said, these group of people came from another church, did the same thing. Divisive, talking about, somebody does something wrong, pointing it out to the point of just obliterating that person to where they don't even want to come back to church. This is not being the light. Now a church has been divided, another church has been divided and hurt and broken because someone didn't show the love of God. You know, there are things, even me as the pastor, and they said, my friend said, they wanted her to come up and they wanted to chastise her, the deacons did, in front of the whole church. Now, if you know me, here's me as a pastor. I understand there's lifestyles that are wrong, and when there's people in error, and I see that, I do try to address that to help them, but it is always one-on-one. It is always in privacy. As a pastor and a shepherd, that's my job. You know, if I saw Joe Brown at the naughty club down in Charlotte getting his groove on with some women, I wouldn't bring Joe up here in front of the church and say, you know what Joe Brown did? Blah, blah, blah. No, I would say, Joe, let's meet and talk. What are you doing? What's going on, man? Sharon been that bad, man? What is going on? You know, to be honest, our job as the body is to love. To love. Now, I know scriptures say, well, if you see your brother in error, that's right, but not in front of the whole world. I've had people through the years of the church come to me, met with me, and said, Pastor said, I've got a pretty bad past. I want to share some things with you. If you don't want me to come to your church, I understand. And if you want me confessing those things from the church, I will. And I've had some people that's had some pretty troubled past, done some pretty bad things. And they've offered, you want me to confess? I said, no. You don't need to confess. You confess to Jesus. The body don't need to know all that, because here's what's going to happen. They'll look at you differently, even the good people, even you good living word people. They'll look at you a little differently. And if they don't, they can't forgive you anyway. That's between you and God. So you talk to God, and you ask him to forgive you. It's a done deal as far as I care. I mean, that's between you and the Lord. I can't judge that. And so this church now, and it was a pretty decent-sized church. Well, no, not really. I mean, it may not be much bigger than ours. It might be a little bigger than ours. But all this division happened because people ran their mouths about a situation that truly didn't change their life whatsoever. This person needed love, not judgment. You are salt. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. You know, we always think about, we see, you know, people say, I got the house on the hill. That's always been equated with richness, right? House on a hill. Well, I've lived in two hills. So there you go. Both our houses have been on hills. House on a hill. The big house on the hill. It's elevated for others to see. Our lives should be elevated for others to see. Not in an arrogant way, not in a religious way, but in a way that when people see our lives. You know, I work a part-time job, as most of y'all know. You may not know. I work a part-time job a couple days a week, and one of the guys I work with said, hey, you going to lunch right now? I said, yeah. So can I tag along and go with you? And usually I go by myself, and, you know, I call Melanie. I said, yeah, come on. And we went. And we're sitting there talking, and we're down there at Cat's Patch in Troutman Eaton. And we're down there, and this guy looks at me. We're talking about politics because the TV was on, and, you know, we was talking. So, who you liking, you know? And he goes, well, I like Bernie Sanders, which I figured the answer was going to come. And then he sat there, and he said this, and this old couple, excuse me, this seasoned couple was sitting beside of us. And when he said this, that woman turned around with her jaw open. He said, I'm kind of weird, so I'm kind of a liberal and a conservative. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I believe that a gay couple can smoke weed but carry a gun. You see what he's going there? I said, okay. When he said that, that woman, he said, you see her? I said, yeah. And I looked at that woman, I said, and so we were talking, and I told him, I said, he knows I'm a preacher. He's a New Yorker. He's from New York, Buffalo area. So he's got the thick, you know, thick New York accent. And a younger guy. He's in his 30s, early 30s. And I said, you know how I feel about the gay marriage thing and the weed thing. But the gay marriage thing, you know how I feel about that. And I said, but I don't cram out anybody's throat. I don't bash nobody. I mean, but I got a stance. But you know what he told me? He looked at me and says, I know you don't. I've noticed that. He says, if you did, I wouldn't even be talking to you. I wouldn't be eating lunch with you. But I know you're not like that. You're not like that. See, my light still shined without saying this. He knows how I stand. He sees my behavior. And I do believe that. I don't believe we go bashing. We go name calling. We do all that. That is such a bad light for God. And so we are expected to elevate our lives to where others see God in us. Don't hide it. Be proud of who you are in God and be that light to others. And, people notice that light in you. I guarantee, Shirley, people that you work with know you're a Christian without ever having to tell them. I guarantee you, I bet people that don't really know you, if they don't know that about you as you go to church, I bet when they're around the water cooler, they're sitting there thinking, boy, that Shirley's an awful good woman. I bet she goes to church just because of your behavior. It does. Here's the deal. If you got to go around and tell everybody you're a Christian, you got to go, I'm saved. Are you saved? I'm saved. Are you saved? I'm saved. Are you? If you got to tell them that, I don't know. I kind of, just live it. Live it. You know, there's a verse. I think I might get to it tonight, so I'll hold off because I might get to that verse. I can't remember if I put that in there or not. Go to the next verse, Brandon. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. We've talked about this before. Your power goes out in your house. You don't light a candle and stick it under your bed. That does no good. You light a candle so you can see where you're going. We are the light, and we should be shining on a candlestick, like it says, and give light to all that are in the house. All those around you, we should be showing that light. We should be exemplifying who Jesus is to others. We don't hide it, we shine it. But we don't shine it with arrogance. We don't shine it with judgment. We don't say, you're in sin, you better change and repent. We shine it how the Word of God tells us to shine it. And that is with love. That's why ever since we started this church, I've told you this story. I come out of a very conservative church, where everybody dressed in dresses, and women would not be seen in pants in the church I came out of. And men dressed up and young people weren't encouraged to come in tattooed and pierced up and all that stuff. I mean, that wasn't talked about. I mean, I don't encourage that, but I'm definitely doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter. I see so much deeper than that. And I come out of that church. And then when we started our ministry at that fire department over at Monticello, all these people come walking in like they's off the streets. I mean, you got to understand, I was used to men in suits and women in dresses. And here I've got guys coming in sandals and shorts. I've got women coming in jeans and shorts. And I'm like, and I remember sitting there thinking, okay. Because see, here's how religion teaches you. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, how am I gonna fix this? I mean, I can't get up there and y'all need to dress like I think you should dress. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I remember praying. I said, God, and I'll never forget, it was so clear. I said this, God, what do you want me to do with all these people? And he spoke and said, preach to them. I said, okay. And that was it. I never seen it. Even Joe Brown, he first started coming, used to wear a suit. He got out of that quick. He started looking around. Hey, I'll wear my turtleneck. I like it. And I'm like, man, it just don't matter. And so many people put emphasis on that. That's not a light. There are people that are hurting, people that are broken, people that are desperate. I mean, what makes a young person want to overdose, to kill themselves? And we're worried about what's on their arm or if their neckline's a little too low. Do you ever go to the beach? Nobody's come to church like that yet. You ever watch TV? They don't come in church like that. I'm just saying. And we sit there and we say, oh, this and this and this. And, you know, little Carl Casparo. Y'all remember little Carl, some of you? I took him, put him and Joe Brown together as door knockers. Seasoned Deacon Brown and young upcoming little Carl. He still calls me once a month, Carl, Joe, and checks on me. Every month he calls me. He came in one day. He said, James, I know I'm going visitation door knocking, and so I got these two earrings in. Does that bother you? And I looked at him and said, does it bother you? No, not really. Well, don't bother me. Just go door knock. A few weeks later, he walked into church. His earrings were gone. I said, Carl, what happened to your earrings? He goes, well, I don't know. I just felt I didn't need them anymore. And it really didn't matter to me. But see, he began to see, he just, you know, James loved me. He wasn't judging me on that. And I wasn't. Those things just don't matter to me. Because I'm looking at the broken life or the heart that needs healing. That's all that matters. You know, in this church, as a pastor, I know a lot of information. It gets very overloading sometimes. And it can be a great burden carrying so many people's afflictions and problems. And I've said this many times, if you as the church body knew what I knew about each other, you would look at each other, in a good way I mean, completely different. Oh my God, you're going through that? Oh my God, they're addicted to that? Oh my God, that just happened in their home? Oh my God, their kid just, what? No idea. Even in me and Manly's home, y'all don't know what's happened. And so if we looked at each other, what we're going through, because all we see is the Sunday crowd, the church crowd, raising our hands to Jesus and smiling, but behind every face is a story. Behind every face is some kind of brokenness or grief or guilt or shame or addiction or bondage or affliction of some sort that we battle. And if we could just show each other the love of Christ, what if our love was demonstrated as equal as our judgment? How different things would be. And I know it's easy to do that. I know that we see, it's how our society is. We see someone with, that's tatted up with long hair and piercings, and we automatically, in our mind, first instinct is like, wow, really? Or, gee, I bet they're not a deacon at their church, so to speak, without even knowing their heart, without even knowing what they've been through. Because every tattoo, every piercing, every scar on their lives has a story. And we need to find out what the story is. That's what's important. What's your story? You know, I was talking to someone today, and we were talking, and I met someone today, and they were telling me their story of how they grew up in church for 40 years. And then their faith got challenged. They had a couple of deaths in the family. Things happened. And said, I lost my faith. I'm like, God, you can't be real. How could this happen? I'm done. I checked out. And he says, I've got it back, though. Someone came to my life. And then he credited the church here for bringing things back into this person's life. He says, you know what? I've got it back. I've been restored. We don't know. We've all, at some point, been at a breaking point. Melanie told me the day, he said, James, remember, God don't put more on you than you can bear. And I said, he's doing an awful good job. I mean, God's doing an awful. He's pushing the limit, I'm telling you. I think we feel that way. And when you sung that song, that part that says, your angels carried me through, I was thinking about my own life. How that I know the angels of God and his ministering spirits have carried me through. Because there's times I shouldn't have got through. There's times that I've been at a breaking point in my life. to where I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed that I can't even take a step forward, it don't seem like. And we've all been there. And we've got to look beyond the outer and be that light to help bring healing to the inward, because that's all God cares about. I don't think that God's going to hit the down hell button for anybody that walks up there with the earring or tattoo. Oh, gone, long hair gone, wearing Bermuda shorts gone, sandals, no socks gone, toenails too long gone, been married 3 times gone, been married 10 times gone. I mean, we put too much emphasis on those things that are they're superficial and not on what's in the heart. God came to change the heart. I know I'm preaching the right message. Y'all, it's quite a Methodist church. Let your light so shine before men that they... Why do we do that? Why should our light shine? That they may see your good works. Not good works as being holy, but they can see our behavior and actions. Why? That they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. I put on Facebook a quote today, if I can remember it exactly. It said, I was in my office and the Lord just put it in my spirit. I put it on Facebook. That... See, if we pull it up, Melanie, thank you. I'll get back to that. But I put a quote off this verse that spun off something as God spoke to me, because our life points people that there is a God. It points to them. When they see our behavior, when they see our conduct, when they see our love, when they see our forgiveness, when they see our mercy being extended, they see God in that. Every time you bless someone, they see God. Every time you love someone, they see God. Every time you forgive someone, they see God. And when they see how can you forgive someone with what they've done against you, they have to know there's a God in you greater than that which is out there. Because you shouldn't be able to move forward and forgive that person or love that person. All they've done to you, it's because the love of God's in us and it's stronger than anything else. Have you got it? What does it say? Yes, the life you live for him will validate the reality of him. Now, really think about that. As we live for God, it brings validity that there is a God. I mean, what else separates us from the world? Understand, we're all humans. We all got the same genes. You know, drugs would make everybody feel high. Alcohol would get everybody drunk. You know, sexual activity feels good to everybody. All the things of the world, we all as humans gravitate toward. Nobody, I don't care what they say, I mean, unless they're just a freak of nature, nobody likes living off yogurt and salads. We like fattening, sugary, salty, high cholesterol, heart-clogging, grease-fried food. Who wants an organic, veggie, no-calorie crust pizza? You want the deep dish Pizza Hut with the grease is soaked through the bottom of the box, because that's what we like. That's by nature how we are. Sorry. That's just how we roll. So think about this. If we have a certain people that don't get caught up in the alcohol or the drugs, or they're actually faithful to their, you know, wife all their lives, or they don't have sex before they get married, they abstain from that, and they can overcome some of these other things others can't. It's like, what makes you different? How come you're not like me? How come you're not out there doing those things? Because the Spirit of God's just changed me. You know, I gave up soft drinks years ago, and I'm not saying I've never took a sip, but man, I'll tell you, I mean, I don't drink soft drinks. I mean, it's like a last resort, and still I don't drink it. But you know what? I've completely lost my desire for soft drinks. I have no desire for soft drinks. Take sweet tea away from me, I'm going to be on some medicine. But soft drinks, I don't need. I drink tea and water. That's what I drink, tea and water. God... I just don't have a desire. Whenever we get born again and let God begin to really lead us and grow us, our desires begin to change. Joe Brown goes from dancing in the club near the pole to being a good deacon in the church. That's just how it happens, because we've been changed. And so
as our lives are lived out for God, it does demonstrate there must be a God, because how are you living above the fray? And how, when loss comes to you or a trial comes to you, you just smile and say, you know what? I'm in God's hands. It's going to be all right. And I'm over here, a basket case, and you're so calm. And you're like, it's going to be okay. God's got this. It points people, there's a God that's alive and well, because how else can you explain that kind of experience? It glorifies God. Our good works glorify God. You know, the Bible talks about how a good name is better than riches. You know, I've always taught my children that principle. I said, look, your character, your reputation, your name is going to follow you. Protect that. If you hear that beeping, by the way, everything's fine. It's going to beep like that for every 2 minutes we're here. I'm getting it fixed Friday. It's going to be fixed. But anyway, it says, don't be alarmed. Sorry, it's annoying. Your reputation, it follows you. Your name, it follows you. And so, you know what? Good character follows you too. And when people know you're a Christian, that follows you. You know, I bet you, I know she's my grandma and I love her, but I bet you'd have other than a daughter's, you know, I know moms get on kids' nerves, I understand that, but outside of the family, I bet you'd be scarce to find a person in this area of Statesville, Iredell County, that have a bad word to say about Gladys Minton. You know Gladys Minton? Oh, yeah. Boy, she's a godly, good woman. You would find it scarce to find anybody to really talk bad about. Oh, yeah. Or you know how people say, you know so-and-so? Yeah. Well, have a great day. They don't want to talk about it, right? You know, not with Gladys Minton. You know why? Because all of her life, she's rested on that good name and built that name for God as a Christian woman. We know she's not perfect. We know she makes mistakes. All of us do. But in this area of Statesville, she's born and raised her whole life as an adult. People that know Gladys Minton, that's your grandma. Boy, she's a good one. I remember back in the day we worked together and we talk about God and we get happy and we pray right there. Boy, I know her. Oh, yeah, I know her. Good reputation. We should be that way as Christians. Yeah, you know Joe and Sharon, you know Courtney. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, Courtney, yeah. She's a Christian going to church. Yeah, we should be shining that light. And you know what? That light can't shine unless that light's inside. So we got to get it inside, and then it'll shine out. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is in Philippians. Philippians 2:14. Boy, look at this. Philippians 2:14. Do all things, without murmurings and disputings. We could learn that lesson, couldn't we? Because we all grumble about everything. If you want to get the natural world, we grumble about, you know, gas being too high, milk being too high, you know, the Panther can't play, the Denver can't play, you know, whatever can't play, you know, or we grumble about our job, grumble about our boss, grumble about the church service, grumble about the songs that were picked out, grumble about the message that was preached, grumble about the government, grumble about the military, grumble about the police officers. I mean, just something to always murmur and complain about. And you know what, as Christians, we're to do, all of us, not just the preacher, we are to be exhorters. Exhort. You know what the word exhort means? To build up. Because if you're not building someone up, you're really tearing them down. Maybe not with your words, but the lack of a building up. Think about this. If this church structure, if we never did anything to it, you know, if it wasn't used, if it wasn't painting walls, fixing things and they broke, eventually it would just decay and rot away. Without doing nothing to it, it would just rot away. You see abandoned homes like that all the time, where somebody moves out of a home, and you know years later it's just rotted out and because it's been abandoned. It's not that they wasn't building it up, so it tore down. We are to be exhorters, not complainers, not murmuring, not disputing, and not trying to cause division. You know, we as Christians through the years have been so trained to look at the big sins as being the only real sins. Whereas the Bible is clear in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs, talking about the seven deadly sins, that we're causing division is a pretty bad one. Causing division among the brethren. And the main way we do that is with this right here, that tongue. Wagging that tongue that James says no man can control. And that is true. But we got to let the Holy Spirit control that tongue. Because we can light a fire that can spread for acres with a couple of words from our tongue if we're not careful. We, you know, our tongue has to be held in check. And we have a responsibility to use that rightly for God's service as well. And the old saying your mama taught you, if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. That's good. That's good wisdom. I mean, that there are times if you can't say anything good, just be quiet. Don't sow that poison into the air and cause hurt to other people, because your words can really bring damage. We are not to utter. I mean, we are not to complain. We are to. And why? Because 15 tells us, don't do that so that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We're supposed to shine a light. I'll use the old ships back in the old days. I love that example of the lighthouse. Think about the miles area of miles and miles of darkness those ships are in. And they see that one tiny light in the distance. And that one little flashing light in the midst of all those miles of darkness brings them safe. Just that little flicker. It might look like a little lightning bug to us. Could be so far away. A little flicker. And the captain says, keep looking. Yep, flickered. Flickered. That's a lighthouse. In the middle of that sea, they could be, I don't know, 25 miles away. I mean, who knows how far they are. And they see a light flicker. And that tiny little bit of light is all those sailors need to get to safety. We don't have to be the big cheese to be cheese. We don't have to do it all to do anything. Be the light God called you to be in how you live and how you act and how you treat others. Because that's the biggest measurement, really, is how we treat others. Our response to their hate, our response to their judgment, our response to their bitterness, our response to their anger. How do we respond back? Do we come back like a scalded cat? Or do we respond with love? Because instinct, man, somebody hits you, you hit them back. That's instinct. Somebody fuss at you, cuss you out, you cuss them back. I mean, that's what rises up. Yeah, I know the old saying, Jesus turned the other cheek. And it don't mean we bow down and don't stand up for ourselves. What it does mean is that we don't return hate with hate. We don't render evil for evil. But the Bible says in Romans, we overcome evil with good. Good is truly stronger than evil. Light is truly bigger than darkness. And we are to be that light to the world. Go to the next scripture. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation, which means your conduct, your lifestyle, be honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's an interesting verse there, the day of visitation. Different translations on this. The most common belief on this translation is that it's in the day that God speaks to that person unto salvation. So think about this. Where surely works, if someone is struggling with their spirit and they're not saved and they're lost and they know they need something, who are they going to turn to in that workplace? The one they've saw live it. The one they know is it. And when God begins to move on that person, hey, I'm calling you. Will you accept me? I'll go talk to Shirley. Shirley, aren't you, you're a Christian, right? Yeah. Well, how do you know God's calling you? And then opens up all that world for her, for that person. Because they saw the good works of Shirley's life. Now understand, we're very clear. We know we are not saved by good works. Not enough good works we can do to go to heaven. We are saved by grace. It is a gift from God, lest any man boast. But our behavior as a Christian should exemplify the God we serve. You know, it's kind of like if you got kids, whether they're little, whether they're older, you know, sometimes they don't turn out or live the way that reflects how you raised them. And you'll tell them, I raised you better than this. Why are you acting like this? I think we all, if you got more than one kid, we can probably all relate to it. If you got one kid, maybe. But if you got more than one, I can put a paycheck down now that one of them ain't going to act like you raised them. And you're like, you're not acting like how you were raised. You're not reflecting the values of what you were involved with. Well, as Christians, aren't that the same thing? Are we the children of God? Are we reflecting as a child how our Father really is? Does God look at us and say, you're not acting like how I've raised you. You're not living like how I taught you. You're not being like I've called you to be. And people aren't seeing the true picture of who I am because of your behavior. Because I'm telling you, I worked, and some of you know this person, I'm not going to say anything, but I worked at Walmart and mourned with a person. And every Monday morning, they come in. He'd come to me, because he was a preacher and all that. He goes, "Have a good church service yesterday? What'd you preach on?" You know, all excited. "And we did too, boy. God move. Them guys in the back would tell me that he would talk about church and Jesus all the time, but use four-letter language all day long and just cuss like the rest of them. You know what it did to them? It made them not believe what he had was credible. It made them believe what he had was not credible. How can he talk about church and Jesus in one side of his mouth and then four-letter word and cussing all day long back here with us? It didn't make sense. He wasn't reflecting, or maybe he was reflecting, the true character of his nature. When our nature is truly characterized by the grace and love of God, we represent, as a young generation says, we represent. Who you represent? Christ. I'll be representing Christ. Instead of keep pounding, keep praising. I represent. Number one ain't can. Number one's Christ. I represent. We are representations of God's grace and love in the earth. The Bible's very clear. He said we are ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors. Think about this. If there was going to be a big cop convention, many of you wouldn't want to be around that. I understand that. That's your own deal. But if there's a big cop convention, and they were going to get a certain officer to speak on behalf of the police officers, who would they get out of that group? The best. They would get the one that had the best character, that had the best, just the best character. They're not going to get a cop that's been videoed for beating a three-year-old kid in the ditch to death because he snapped. Yeah, let's get that guy up here. No, that don't represent who police officers really are. They're going to get the best of the best to come out. As a police officer, I am representing this band of brethren. And how I proceed, how I look, how I act is the representation of the whole body. We are representatives of Christ. And so we have a responsibility to be that. To say, you know what? People are looking at my life trying to find, am I real? Are you really real? Or are you another one of those churchgoers that say you got religion, but man, you act like everybody else? Even my son has recognized that with many people. He says, all these people, Dad, act holy, and they say they're in church, but they, you know, act like the world, and they ain't no different than me. How in the world can they be a Christian? How in the world can they say that they're saved? He sees that. People want someone not perfect. I understand. We cannot ever place our trust in a person. You know, people should never leave church because a pastor fails. Ever should leave the church. Maybe, I'm not talking about individual, but leave the church, because your eyes are on God. They're on God. Faith can never be put in man. Faith is in God. But we as men and women of God should do our best to guard that and protect it with everything that's in us. Got one more verse, I believe. Don't I? Yep, Acts 1:8. We love Acts 1:8. Us Pentecostals love this verse. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. But why do we get power? We love the shouting and we love the dancing and we love feeling the goosebumps and praising God and being slain in spirit when he hits us that way, and that's a beautiful thing. But what's the real power of the Holy Ghost for? For you to be witnesses. Witnesses. The power of the Holy Ghost was to fill us with boldness and strength beyond our natural ability, that we can stand in the gap in a dark world and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Proclaim that. That's why the power came, to fill us, that we would be a witness of the love of Christ, the power of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Because we can't stand for Christ or be like Christ without his power living in us. That's why I say that you cannot expect an unsaved person to live with any kind of moral standard. You can't force that. They've got to have that for themselves. You can't force. It's just like you can't force a square plug into a round hole, so to speak. And so many times we get frustrated with people's lives. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just change? Why don't you just change? Why don't you just change? But until God changes them, they can't live different than what they are. So we pray that God, Lord, change them. God, help them. Because in our own ability, our own nature, that old man, we have a total battle with that old man all the time. I mean, I've had many people in this church through the years say, Pastor, you know me, you know my spirit, you know my home, you know my life. But I'm telling you, I'm feeling the devil a lot lately. It happens because that old flesh gets in the way. But the power of the Holy Spirit comes in that we are witnesses. How are we witnesses? By the way we live, by the way we talk, and by the message we stand on. I know Jesus and Jesus, you know, being the only way to eternal life is not the most popular trend in our nation right now. And it's almost becoming outdated. It's almost, I mean, even other secular churches are almost adopting the attitude of, you know, where there's a road of truth and without just coming out and being bold and saying what it is. Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12 tells us, there is no other name given unto men whereby we must be saved. Period. And that's our stance as Christians, or it should be. Live like a light for God. It's time to rise and shine. Don't be afraid. I think here's part of our problem. We're afraid to shine too much because, well, if I fall, they're looking at you anyway, and they're talking about you anyway. I promise you. If you say your blessing at your cafeteria work, look at them acting all religious praying. If you don't say your blessing, well, they ain't prayed, they're Christians. You're not going to win either way. So live like Christ. You know, and just be that light. Because people are always going to be looking at you and expecting you to fall and wanting you to fall. But as long as our heart is humble, instead of being so religious and arrogant that we think we're above anything, be honest with people and say, you know what? I know I fail. You know, I never forget, I told you a story too. I was at Walmart years ago, standing up at the front, watching the front end. You know, we had to rotate turns to kind of watch the front end. I was up there and a couple of the managers up there with me. And of course, they knew I was a Christian, you as a preacher and all this. We're standing there where this woman walks by, right there, you know, you're down there at Lake Norman. Somehow women are just prettier and mortal, I don't know. But anyway, they walk by. Well, except for my wife. They walk by, and, you know, she's kind of scantily dressed, you know, and all that. And them guys look at me and says, oh, James, yeah. Don't tell me you didn't look at that. I know you looked at her. Well, I could have got my religious coat on and says, and looked like an idiot. You know what I said? I said, yep, God gave me two eyes, and that's his creation. And that kind of just silenced them. It kind of like, oh, because it made it real. I mean, understand. Of course. I mean, I'm standing right here. What am I supposed to do? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Or turn my back like this? Or say, ugh, do you see that? I mean, really? It's life. And when people know that you're real, and that you're not some robot because you got the Holy Spirit and you're saved, that all of a sudden sin has no temptation, and that you're living in some kind of, you know, yellow brick road moment where there's, you know, 10 men that come back to life and lions that talk and munchkins. I mean, really? That's not the real world. The real world is trial and tribulation. And God knows that. God knows that. So the more real we are with people, I think the better our light shines. Because we're honest, and we help them. Because you know how many Christians, as a teenager, I struggled so much thinking I was going to lose my salvation every time I looked at a girl wrong. Every time I did this, oh, God, I'm going to go to hell. And I was so tormented because here I am at 16, 17. And remember, guys, when you're 16, 17, there ain't but one thing on your mind at 16, 17. And I'm like, my gosh, And I would feel so condemned. And it took me till I got an adult to look back and realize, you know what? I was a normal human being with natural desires that God gave me. Without those desires, I wouldn't have married Melly and had no youngins. That desire's there for a reason. And when you're 16, 17, you're just too stupid to know how to reason any of that. But through those years, I felt so condemned all the time because I was trying to live a Christian life and I was, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then I would have these temptations and feel so guilty. And when I became honest with myself as an adult, and look, we're humans. We're all humans. And you know what that says to somebody else? If I'm acting like I'm so holy and above all those things, I'm this great light that, you know, the sun sets on, what hope does that give to a Sharon Brown who's broken and struggling? Well, James got together. I can't go talk to him because, I mean, he's going to think I'm a weak sinner. I mean, he's got together. He don't do nothing wrong. I can't go to him with my problems. He's going to think I'm a heathen and going to hell. But when Sharon Brown walks by and sees me do this, hey, he's normal. I saw you. Look at her. I looked at that guy walking by, and I felt so bad. Give me five. We all right, ain't we? Not that extreme. You know what I'm saying? It makes it normal that we can talk to people and be real. Don't hide behind some kind of religious facade. Be honest and say, you know what? We all struggle with something. All of us have different issues we struggle with. The more honest we are, the greater our light will shine. So rise and shine. That is my message. Be what God called you to be. Each one of us have an area of our lives to illuminate, whether it's at our job, whether it's at Walmart, wherever we go, that light goes with us. And you never know how that light can really impact someone's life if we let it be seen, how much it really matters. God uses you to bring people to Him. That's what He does. He uses us to bring people to the gospel. So be that light. I know where Melanie works. She's a great light where she works. There's no doubt. I know it. I see it. She's a great light in her office. And I know people are drawn to Melanie where she works. They're drawn to her because of that light. I mean, because she's hot too, yes, but because of that light. She's drawn because of her spirit. And they know she's real. They know she loves. They know she's sincere. And they're drawn to that. That's so much better than putting up an arrogant religious facade that we're just above. We've arrived. I've got beyond that. I don't think no human being ever gets beyond anything in the earth, not really beyond it. I mean, we fight it and we, you know, have victory over some things, but we never get beyond it. How many diets fail? You start January 1, you're going to lose 20 pounds and you're not going to eat nothing but water and apples until you do. And you start eating apple pies and apple turnovers and apple ice cream. And then you don't gain, you don't lose nothing. The most determined fail. So rise and shine. Time to be lights for the Lord. All right. You got a bit itchy song for us, Margie? You can come play. Using Margie night on Wednesday night a lot. Thank you. Yes, I know. Yes, Grandma. Just stop. And then a light pops on. Oh, by the way, I meant to say check. Sorry. I mean, thank God you have warning signals to let you know something's not right. Good word. What you going to sing this time?
It's called If You Can Use Anything, Lord.
If you what?
If You Can Use Anything.
If You Can Use Anything. Okay. Sing it. Hang on a second. If you have an offering tonight, she's singing, just bring it up and put it in the plates.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Do what?
Title screen.
Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Roxy. Y'all, most of y'all know Roxy lives next door. Turn around, face everybody. So glad to have her. She walks over here on her own, 17 years old. She has some brain surgery about, what, 2 months ago now? 3 months ago. Had a tumor on her brain. They had to operate on her brain, go in and remove the tumor. They got it removed, and she is a lot better. Got a very good report. And just so thankful that she is still with us. And just continue to pray for Roxy. God just watches over her and blesses her and just feels her needs. She loves God so much. I don't know if you saw a while ago when Margie was singing. She knelt down, was about at the front row praying. She has such a heart for God. She reads her Bible. She loves God. She sings in her home all the time. And just keep praying for her that God just gives her what she needs. And give her a hand for being here tonight. Thank you. God, we thank you for this message and this word. Thank you for your spirit being here present. Bless every heart as we leave this place and watch over us. Bring us safely back together. And we give you praise and thanks for all you are in our lives, God. Thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.